This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Welcome in to another Pit Panther Rants and other Sports Rants podcast. Vlad Harris, your host, brought to you by The Sports Drink. Well, it's been over 2 months since I've spoken to you guys. It's been a while. I just been busy with work, starting a new job, and that's pretty much been my focus. And, of course, doing stuff around my house. Just packing things up and trying to start anew with this year. I'm trying to be committed to certain things that I, keep saying I'm going to do this New Year's and I don't do it, but this year I planned on doing it. Let's see, where do we leave off? I think I was going to talk about Pitt basketball on my next podcast, and I really didn't. At the time, I'm glad I held off, because I think at the time I think they were 1-4 and 1-5 in ACC play, and things just weren't looking good for them. I mean, that Louisville game, I didn't think that, which was their lone ACC win. I just wasn't that impressive. I mean, I wasn't that impressed with it. And of course, they get hammered by Duke. They lose to Syracuse. Actually, they got swept by Syracuse this year, which is probably a rarity. I'm trying to think when the last time Pitt got swept by Syracuse in basketball and football, like a 1 year. It's got to be somewhere in the 90s that happened. I'm thinking probably, let's see. Pitt didn't start, being Syracuse in football until, 2002, actually. Yeah, 2002. Yeah, Pitt didn't start being Syracuse in football until about 2002. So you're thinking probably somewhere in the 90s that we probably got swept by Syracuse at all three. And I can never understand it, because I think it was the late, especially the late 90s, early 2000s, I always felt like we were on the verge of being Syracuse in football. We had some close encounters with Troy Nunes. There was a 2001 game with RJ Anderson, I believe, and they beat the shit out of us, I remember. But 2002, I remember watching that game. I think I was fresh out of college, and Pitt won that game 40-24. I mean, they throttled them. The game wasn't even close. The score was a lot worse than what it should have been. It just Pitt pulled their starters out and put all their second team players in, and that was that. But a lot of people thought last year was an anomaly. That what happened. And I think that at the time, with Pitt being, 10-7 and 1-5 in ACC play, that assessment was pretty fair. I wouldn't have been mad about it. I don't think he was going to get fired. I don't think Jeff Capel was going to get fired after that year, or this year, I should say. I mean, you're not going to fire a guy after he just took him to the NCAA tournament the year before and won two NCAA tournament games. You're not going to, not do that. I mean, maybe if you're Kansas or, say, some other school that can afford to buy him out, sure. I'm sure his buyout at Pitt's very low, but I just didn't see them. I didn't see his job being in danger if things really fell off the wheel. I mean, they gave him and Lance White lots of leeway. The only difference is that Capel's program has started the trend upward, whereas Lance White's women's program It shredded towards really hot garbage. I mean, it just never got better for Lance White. Nice guy, but Tory Verdy, he's got a long road ahead of him. I'm not sure what to do with that. You could use NIL and buy a bunch of players, which is probably, if you really want the women's program to, make some progress, but I'm not sure if that's, if they're going to go that route. But back to Jeff Capel and the Pitt Panthers. They were, let's see, at one point 10-7, 1-5 in ACC play. And they close right now. They're on a 10-3 run. They've won 10 of their last 13 games. There were some games they should have won. Well, Clemson, they should never let that game slip. Miami, they came out flat. But the Clemson game, they were up 10. They had control and they just started bricking shots. And that's, Wake Forest, they got destroyed. That was a game they really needed and they just came out flat. Now they beat NC State at home. I mean, on the road earlier this year. They got NC State on Saturday, and it's at the CW. And NC State, I guess in football and basketball, supposedly has a really good record when they play on the CW network. If you're gambling, of course, you need some sort of help. My hope is that Pitt wins this game and closes out, but NC State really needs this game as well. And you know how tobacco road is when it comes to taking care of their own. So, yeah, I look for this game to be what's it called? I look for it to be probably a badly officiated game. I'm not sure what happens. I mean, Pitt's obviously gonna, they need this win, and of course they gotta win some tournament games in the ACC. I mean, worst case scenario, they end up in NIT. As bad as things became, I can say that probably at least the staff and the team salvaged the season some way. Hopefully, gives us better outlook on next year. But season isn't over, so we won't get to that yet. But we would all love to see Blake Hinson in the NCAA tournament again. And of course, Jalen Lowe, Bob Carrington. We would love to see all those guys. But when this team is sloppy, they're sloppy. But when they're on, they're just on. They're just fun to watch. So, if we could just keep, I don't want to see any sloppiness. I mean, Florida State game that they came out sloppy and then they just took control the rest of the game. So my hope, yeah. Let's move on to some other stuff. Pitt football. There was a bunch of coaching changes. Well, actually, there was two. We had Charlie Partridge leave. He took an NFL job, and Tyquan Underwood, wide receivers coach, took an NFL job. I'm not. I mean, in college, Charlie could have went anywhere, and he could have went to probably any Florida school or SEC school for all that mattered. He stayed at Pitt, and now he's coaching in NFL. I mean, he left. One thing I say about these two coaches is they left Pitt for NFL jobs. And Partridge was a big loss, a huge loss, because he was so great with Kate when it came to coaching, and recruiting and everything. But it just it happens. But people are blaming the NIL for this, why coaches are leaving. You can make that argument that it is. That's the issue. But at the same time, coaches got to adapt. The coaches that have options are going to leave. That's the reality of it. Charlie Partridge had options. He left. He went to the NFL. Tyquan Underwood, same thing. He obviously had options because he got a, I guess his former teammate offered him a new job with the Patriots. He left. I don't see Tyquan Underwood as that much of a loss because I just felt like the receivers, I felt like they took some big steps back after that 2021 season. So I just overall I really wasn't impressed with him. Nice guy, but whatever. Now in the place of Charlie Partridge, we land Tim Doust. Now Doust, he coached at Sam Houston State. At one time they were an FCS powerhouse. I think they still are. Well, no, they're in Division 1A now. So he was at Western Michigan, and of course, him and Pat Narduzzi have worked together before, so that explains a whole lot right there. Yeah, he worked with Narduzzi when they were in Cincinnati in 2005. And of course, Northern Illinois. So there you go with that. And of course, we forgot about Coach Borbély, who retired. Jeremy Darvoux, of course, he comes from Western Carolina. So, Cade Bell is bringing. He brought his O-line coach, and I believe he brought a receivers coach too. Yeah, let's. I've been so out of it with these things, but yeah, he JJ Laster. So Bell's putting his timestamp on the program already. He's bringing his guys, and it's going to be really good or really bad. It's going to be either one. I mean, as long as it's not worse than freaking what we have with Cignetti, I'm not going to complain about it. But going back to NIL, like I said before, if there's coaches that have options, they're going to leave. Some coaches that can't leave don't have options. They're going to have to adapt. They're going to have no choice but to adapt to the way college football is now. They have no choice unless they go, say, Division II or 1AA or Division III or coach high school. I mean, that's just what they're going to have to deal with. If anything, you're going to see a lot of the old guard leave, and you're going to welcome probably maybe younger coaches who have more modern ideas, more ways to attack this, to adapt to this. I mean, there's going to be some good and bad in this. I mean, Jeff Hafley, I mean, he was the head coach of Boston College, and then all of a sudden, he's taking an NFL job because he just wants to coach football. But the thing is with Hafley is you're still going to have to deal with guys earning a paycheck regardless. You're going pro, but you're still going to have to deal with egos. I'm just saying. But that's just how that, that's how it is. It's how things change. I'm not sure if there's going to be a cap on NIL and stuff like that. I mean, or the transfer portal, because players just want to leave no matter what. Pitt's just going to have to continue to adapt, and they have. I mean, they get guys out of the transfer portal, whether it's, football or basketball. Now, supposedly there's this buzz around the new offense, and the topic is basically getting, well, it's getting Gavin Bartholomew the football this year. And because obviously he's been pretty much forgotten about and Frank Sinetti's offense, as we all knew, and supposedly they're gonna get him the ball, and pretty much, I mean, yeah, you know, we have Kanata Mumfield, we have Gavin Bartholomew. You know, at least we have some, you know, some veteran presence there in terms of the offense. I don't know. And, of course, we got Ronnie Hammond coming back. So, all isn't too lost with the Pitt offense. You know, we got Nate Urnell. He's got experience. Same with Christian Veyer. I guess is how you pronounce it. Not Valu, it's Veyer. Conveyor belt. Oh, well. Now, let's get to some NFL talk, because that's been fun. Well, as you know, the season concluded. The Super Bowl was very underwhelming. And, you know, the Chiefs are just the Chiefs. They're just a really good team. And, you know, there's a lot of talk about Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen being overrated. Can't get done the playoffs. They're not really overrated quarterbacks. They're good quarterbacks. It's just that they have run into the unfortunate circumstance of Pat Mahomes. If you look at the Steelers, look what Ben Roethlisberger had to deal with. In the AFC, he had to deal with Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. Ben never had, in the two Super Bowl wins that Ben had, he never had to face Tom Brady. But he did have to face Peyton Manning in the first Super Bowl run. And, of course, he won that. Despite a pick or a fumble or whatever that Polamalu had, and they said it was a football move and he dropped it. Yeah, there was that. And of course, there was the fumble by Bettis, which, Ben obviously saved the game for that. I don't know. I'm not gonna get back in the discussion about the fumble at the goal line because it's just, they won. It doesn't matter. Mike Vanderjagt choked like he always did, and that was that. But yeah, Ben had to deal with those guys. And that's just what it is now. I mean, Lamar Jackson has to deal with Pat Mahomes. Same with Josh Allen. That's just the reality of it. But for years, these last several years, we've been blaming the Greg Roman offense as to why Lamar Jackson can't, elevate. And in their playoff loss against the Chiefs, and what's crazy is that was like his goal. If there was ever a golden opportunity for Lamar Jackson and the Ravens to win the Super Bowl or go to it, that was it, because that Chiefs team on paper wasn't good at all compared to the previous ones, especially on offense. Their offense is basically Kelce and Mahomes, and that's it. Except for they had a decent defense this year. But once the Chiefs had to face the 49ers and Brock Purdy has a whole lot of offensive talent around him. I mean, when you got Debo Samuel and Christian McCaffrey, it's really hard to fuck that up. And, it's really, really, really hard to fuck that up. And, of course, they have Kittle as well. I mean, he's got so much offensive talent around him, it's really hard to screw that up. And I think the jury's still out on him. I mean, I don't think he's a bad QB. He's done pretty well. But look what he has around him, though. And, they just, I was thinking they would do more against the Chiefs, but they really didn't. It just they had opportunity. The opportunities were there, and they just, you can't, it's like the Patriots. You can't screw up against them because they're going to make you pay every single time. But yeah, overall, I think that was Lamar's golden opportunity. I think for Josh Allen, unfortunately, I think his window has passed. That Chiefs overtime game was his peak. That was his window there, and I don't see him. I don't see I don't see that window. I think that window, unfortunately, has been shut on him. Because they flamed out in the playoffs ever since then. So yeah, I think Lamar's window is still open, mainly because everybody they love him in the media. And his jersey sells a lot. He's very popular, excuse me. So I think his window is always going to remain open because it means more money for the NFL if he gets a Super Bowl win. Ravens too. I mean, the guy's very marketable. Now the Steelers have a very challenging offseason, as we all know. Not sure what the. I mean, we'll see what they do in the draft. I'm not going to get too much into this, but it looks like Mason Rudolph is either going to leave or stay. Steelers want to keep him. It doesn't look like the Steelers are going to sign a quarterback. I think they're going to give. Well, I don't think they're going to give Kenny Pickett one more year. I mean, he's a first round pick. Regardless, I mean, you got to give him as much. You got to give him at least 3 years. I mean, look at Justin Fields. I mean, 3 years, then you realize they are what they are. But as much as I've bashed Mason Rudolph, the guy salvaged the Steelers season. And of course, they came up short against Buffalo. Although, unfortunately for Steeler Nation, people are very divided on the quarterback to a point where, what I saw was when, early in the game, Mason threw a pick, and there were people who obviously are Kenny Pickett supporters, because I see them on Pitt Twitter all the time. I mean, they were cheering on the pick. I mean, they were happy about this, that the Steelers were losing. And me being a Pitt fan and a Steelers fan, I thought that was fucking weird, to be honest with you. I mean, excuse my language. My thing is, I'm a Steelers fan and a Pitt fan. And regardless of who's starting a quarterback for the Steelers, whether he's a Pitt guy or not, I want to see them win football games. Would I love to see Kenny Pickett succeed? Sure. We all would. It would be a great story. I mean, you want your first round pick to succeed because you want to be going back in there and looking for another quarterback. We were spoiled for so many years with Ben not having to, shop for a quarterback. And people are saying we're giving Kenny Pickett too much time. I mean, Bill Cowher gave Cordell Stewart 5 years. I mean, all of a sudden, these last several years, people are lauding Cowher as this Vince Lombardi type coach. All of a sudden, I just remember after losing the 2001 AFC title game, people wanting him fired. They couldn't stand Bill Cowher up until he won the Super Bowl and until he retired. They couldn't stand him. I mean, when he started losing, there were rumors about his his marriage and stuff like that. That they were spreading rumors. I mean, there was a whole, they were mean to Bill Cowher. And now all of a sudden he's a Vince Lombardi type coach now. But on the flip side of the whole thing, the people rooting for Kenny Pickett to fail is also weird as fuck as well, because both sides of this are weird as fuck, because you don't want the quarterback to falter, because then the team starts losing fucking games and then it's a pile of hot shit. I don't care who starts a QB. As long as they're scoring game points on the board and they're winning games, it's all matters. So, I mean, we didn't get to see Kenny enough without Matt Canada, unfortunately. He got hurt, and that's another thing. Kenny's injury prone. So, I was, you know, of course, if I'm Mason Rudolph, I'm looking to shop out in the open market. Maybe somebody's dumb enough to give me a max deal or a bigger contract. Who knows? Anyways, I've rambled enough, and we got one more topic to discuss. Let's see. The NBA All-Star game happened. Personally, I could have cared less about this. I did watch the slam dunk and all that three-point stuff. The slam dunk contest was so fucking underwhelming, it was ridiculous. And people are blaming it. There were some people blaming it on LeBron because he didn't participate. I mean, the man's almost, man's like, what is he, 40 now? How old is LeBron James? Let's Google that. I know it's close to 40. I mean, he started, you know, I think I was, you know, I was just graduating. I mean, oh yeah, 39 years old. He's 39 years old. I mean, he doesn't need to do that shit. I mean, what is he getting out of it? I mean, the guy's made enough money. And the NBA is so open now. It caters to offense and shooting. I mean, what were you all expecting? You got all the best players in the league on one court, and they all happen to score plenty of points. What were you expecting in this game? And a lot of these guys got their own endorsements, brands, whatsoever. They're not risking an injury in a meaningless game. You know, they don't have to do that shit no more. The guys back in the day had to do that stuff. Because that league was still growing. They had to market it. Now it's as big as it is today that they don't have to do that shit no more. So, I don't know what will you do to improve the All-Star game. I don't think you can. I don't think there's much you can do about it. I mean, just sit back and watch those guys score points. That's really all it is. And bet the over. Excuse me, guys. I'm drinking my coffee. That's about it. I mean, well, it's been 2 months, guys. I'm sure I'll do another podcast sooner or later. But let's enjoy Saturday because Pitt plays NC State. Let's get the win, and let's just keep living. Talk to you later.